Welcome to Cassandra Explains It All, a podcast where we take a magnifying glass to all of our treasures from the past. Okay, perfect. So today we are going to be taking a really, I think, fun trip down nostalgia lane. I mean, take me back to May 9th, 1999. Now, everything that we're going to talk about in this episode technically isn't from May 9th, but it is all from right around that time in 1999. So indulge me, if you will, while we go on this epic journey of the turn of the millennium. The date is May 9th, 1999, and it's a Sunday. Anyone born today will have their star sign a Taurus. Currently, people are enjoying their weekend. The summer of 1999 has finally arrived. The weather has warmed up and the evenings are brighter than usual. In America, the song No Scrubs by TLC is on the top of the singles charts. I just don't think it's actually possible to forget how iconic and amazing this music video was. But, you know, I was a fan of TLC since like the late 90s. The song is totally timeless. It doesn't matter how old it is. It's a masterpiece. I mean, the song just totally takes me back to 1999. They were the best-selling female R&B group ever, even in 2023. So just let that sink in. They are total legends. The 90s definitely had a sound, and R&B ruled the charts. Let's see what else we've got. Bill Clinton is currently the president of the United States, and the movie Entrapment is at the top of the box office. In the United Kingdom, Tony Blair is the current prime minister. Meanwhile, CDs have become the dominant format for music. People are buying CD players and portable CD players such as the Discman. As a result, the older cassette tape format is continuing to decline in sales. So as far as the movie Entrapment, I do not have any memory of this movie. Do you guys remember it at all? 1999. It was a thriller crime starring Sean Connery, Catherine Zeta-Jones. You know what? Let's listen to the trailer, but essentially it's a 1999 caper film. So yeah, I do not remember. I have like literally zero memory of this movie at all. That's so crazy. Entrapment.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
This was 70 stories up with smart glass windows.
This is classic Mac.
He's a wealthy guy. He doesn't have to steal anymore.
You think this guy steals because he has to?
We sent a couple of guys after him.
They were both men.
Oh my goodness, Bill Clinton being president, and just that last part about CD players, you know, coming into the forefront of music technology, that is something that I want to take a closer look at and reminisce over, because I loved CDs. I want to say my first CD was actually Leslie Carter, It's Like Wow, the single, for some weird reason. But yeah.
Considering its quality and size, the compact disc most certainly will become a part of our everyday lives in the future. Producer Tom Tomaszewski has that story.
Frank Maioli is a connoisseur of wines and music. His eclectic collection of the latter began when he was 5 years old. Today, he has 600 to 700 selections, ranging from modern electronic to classical acoustic. But lately, Frank has neglected the LPs he collected for years and turned to compact discs. Frank has purchased 80 discs already, and he's only 2 months into this new collection. He says the discs sound that good.
It's clean. There's no noise. The only detectable noise you would have is possibly tape discs from the original recording. Otherwise, you don't have the disturbing surface noise, pops, clicks, distortion.
Frank's new passion does cause problems. For example, classical compact discs take advantage of the 70 minutes worth of recording time on CDs. He feels cheated when he pays near the same price for rock CDs that are only 45 minutes long. The CD player won't replace Frank Maiali's turntable, at least for now. He has too many old favorites to play.
It's crazy when you look at something like that compared to, you know, the Steve McLennan talk recently about the death of CDs and the rise of streaming that he did 8 years ago. It's just a total shift in media, and I just love it. I have tried to collect CDs a little bit here and there. I mean, I do find ones at thrift stores that I want. Sometimes I'll get them. The main problem is that my kids eventually find them and then want to play with them, and they don't understand, you know, they think it's like alien technology. It is kind of hard to find a CD player, although I'll say I do have one in my car, so maybe I should stop using that as an excuse and just spring for some new CDs at the thrift store. But then it's like, where are you going to put 30 CDs in your car? Oh, actually, you can get one of those like little CD holders that goes on the top of your sun visor, or even the giant book. But then the problem is, you know, I don't want to get rid of all that CD art, and then I'm just throwing away all this plastic. It's quite the conundrum. You know, I obviously am, well, not obviously, if you don't listen to this podcast religiously, you might not know this, but my nostalgia core, nostalgia people definitely know this of me, is that I am a huge VHS collector, and I have a ton of VHS tapes, and I also have 2 VHS players, maybe 3, catch me on a good day. But, you know, with CDs, that's just a journey I haven't really taken. And also, you know, with music, tapes or records, really. Actually, and with records, like, I do have a pretty decent record collection, but I don't have a record player, so I really need to get one. But as far as CDs go, I think that I just need to open myself up to a whole new world and start collecting CDs again before it's too late and they're all gone. But it's true that they do scratch easily, and they're pretty bad for the environment, although they're all used now, so what's the harm, right? Now, in fashion, bright and metallic colors are all the rage, which is true. This is when we start seeing metallic come back in with like Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, and I hate to say it, but like Aaron Carter and his like Jimmy Neutron era and Men in Black. So it's a contrast with the darker grunge colors that were popular at the beginning of the 1990s. Women are wearing maxi skirts, bell bottoms, knee boots, crop tops, tube tops, slip dresses, maxi coats, and platform shoes. Meanwhile, a lot of men have ditched their grunge and skater clothes in favor of sporting a more dressy, casual look. Shorter hair on men is also becoming more popular at this time. A relatively new form of communication called text messaging is continuing to explode in popularity. Although the technology has been around since the mid-1990s, it was only recently that cell providers started to allow users to send SMS messages to people on different networks. It's 1999, so radio stations are being dominated by the likes of Cher, rightfully so, TLC, Monica, Whitney Houston, Britney Spears, Jennifer Lopez, Santana, and Ricky Martin. God, take me back. I mean, Cher is one of my all-time favorite artists. And of course, I love Witches of Eastwick. I covered the movie. It's on my, I think it's on my public feed, but it might be on the Patreon. I don't know. I did it with Max and Bird of Measuring Flicks, and it was such a fun episode, but I need to do Moonstruck. I need to do every Cher movie ever. I wrote an essay about her autobiography when I was in like sixth grade. So I've always been a huge Cher fan. It makes me so happy to reminisce about 1999 and like Cher topping the charts with Monica, right? And Whitney Houston and Britney Spears. I love it. Trying to say that Monica is as great as Cher, but what I will say is that Monica doesn't get enough credit for her work. She's very talented and I love her music. This song is very, special and has a very special meaning to so many people for so many different reasons. I think it just literally transports you right back to 1999. And it's one of those songs that has so much feeling and emotion behind it. It's just so underrated. She's so underrated. I love her voice. She went from teenager to a beautiful woman before our eyes. You know, she's one of the best singers of our generation. And if you want to like go on a 1999 playlist binge, I suggest starting with Monica, Angel of Mine. You won't be disappointed where it takes you. Now, the Nokia 3210 is currently one of the most popular cell phones on the market. If you were to travel back to this day, notable figures such as Owen Hart, John F. Kennedy Jr., Wilt Chamberlain, and Walter Payton would all be still alive. On TV, people are watching popular shows such as King of the Hill, Celebrity Deathmatch, and King of Queens and Charmed. So let's talk about the Nokia 3210. And also, you know, in the last paragraph, they did mention texting, which 1999, I'm trying to think, like in 1999, I do not think I had a cell phone. There's no way in hell that in 1999 I had a cell phone, but I do remember having a Nokia brick. At least that's what we called it. I just don't know what year I would have ended up getting that because I graduated high school in 2004. So 99 just seems like way too early to have a cell phone, but I definitely remember these Nokia phones.
Nokia 9000 communicator. It's everything you need to communicate when you're on the move, but it's so small. It fits in your jacket pocket. The Nokia 9000 communicator. Everything, everywhere.
Oh my God, I wish y'all could see the antenna on the Nokia 9000. I would give anything to have that as my phone right now because I am not kidding when I say it looks completely indestructible. And this is like when phone manufacturers knew how to design phones. Like, I don't know. I just feel like my phone is not made to be held in my hand 24 hours a day, like my Nokia or my BlackBerry. I'm just saying. So that was the time where mobile phone ads were just focusing on calls. I mean, I just miss the old Nokia, and all of the models of Nokia were such good. I don't know, maybe I'm like literally talking myself into getting an old Nokia phone right now. Is that crazy? It's probably crazy, right? I mean, I use my phone for the podcast and stuff like that. I kind of need it, you know, in life.
If I had everything that I needed in just one device,
I would call it a
life support system. My right hand.
Without it, I'll be incomplete.
It's a tricky one, isn't it?
My hero.
For the president. Or El Presidente.
It's my magic maker.
My magic box.
My life.
The future.
My everything.
It's a beautiful thing to have if it's always connected and at fast speed as well.
Internet everywhere all the time.
Perfectly in connection with how the world is changing.
Traveling would become something different.
Everyone gets lost and everyone needs to know where they're going.
I wouldn't have been bound by a place, I'd be genuinely mobile.
Is all my life, so if I see something nice,
a color, a building, a car, a face,
you're walking down the street and you find like this specific moment you want to capture.
They're talking about this Nokia phone like it is freaking alien technology. I can't, y'all. I can't. It seems just so bizarre. And this is only 1999. It seems so long ago. And so unbelievable, you know, I don't know. Wow. Just that really blew my mind. Oh, and I did like that we got a King of the Hill reference, which of course the late and great Brittany Murphy was a voice actress for many seasons. King of the Hill in general is just a hilarious show. Love it. Love, love, love it. And I will definitely do a King of the Hill episode very soon. And it says, meanwhile, gamers are playing titles such as Resident Evil 2, Baldur's Gate, Symptom Filter, and WCW Nitro. Children and teenagers are currently watching TV shows such as Hang Time, The Angry Beavers, The Powerpuff Girls, and Bob the Builder. Popular toys at the moment include the likes of Yo-Yo, the Pokemon trading card game, Betty Spaghetti, who's a doll, and the Game Boy Color, which, oh my God, the Game Boy Color, right? Also, Betty Spaghetti, that's a huge blast from the past. I haven't thought about that thing in forever. It's crazy to think that kids were playing Mario still back then and Pokemon, and to this day are still playing it. Betty Spaghetti, Game Boy Color, just wow.
Have you heard about Betty?
Betty Spaghetti.
She's got real cool clothes.
Lots of clothes.
She's got real cool hair.
I love her hair.
I've seen her style.
Have you met her friends?
Have you heard about Betty?
Betty Spaghetti.
Meet Betty Spaghetti. She's a one of a kind, mix and match, never the same, look twice, fashion doll that has everybody talking.
Have you seen her style?
Outrageous style.
Have you met her friends?
Way cool friends.
Have you heard about Betty? Betty Spaghetti.
Betty Spaghetti. New from Ohio Art. That's sold separately.
I feel like I don't even really need to play a Game Boy Color commercial because Game Boy Color was such a big deal. Like it was just such a big deal. I mean, to the point where people still to this day will restore Game Boy Colors. I mean, there's millions of YouTube videos about it.
Everybody's got a colorful side. Here's ours. Lots of new color games for Game Boy Color, like Tetris DX, Wario Land 2, Zelda DX, Looney Tunes Carrot Crazy, Quest for Camelot, and there's R-Type Plus, Super Mario, and Conker's Pocket Tales. All bring Game Boy to a whole new level. New Game Boy Color. Now the games are as colorful as you.
And I know that my brothers had one. I just honestly can't remember what color we had. But I want to say at some point we had like one that was partly see-through and it was purple. But here's something interesting. Game Boy Color is not a successor of classic Game Boy. Because the sound is 8-bit like the classic Game Boy, design shape for this handheld console is the same as classic Game Boy, but the screen is in color. But it's like, sorry, Nintendo, but Sega beat you to having a color handheld in 1991, and they wouldn't let you forget it either, which is true and crazy. These are some news topics, nostalgia fads, and pop culture events. that were trending in the news on May 9th, 1999, but didn't necessarily happen exactly on May 9th. Like The Mummy in May and June of 1999, the film The Mummy was showing at movie theaters. Now, SpongeBob SquarePants makes his debut. On May 1st, 1999, the first episode of SpongeBob SquarePants was aired on Nickelodeon. And I think that's awesome because I literally just covered SpongeBob and a lawsuit against a pop-up restaurant in Houston that was a total ripoff of SpongeBob SquarePants. So if you haven't heard that episode, you should go check it out. The Columbine High School Massacre. On April 20th, 1999, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris shot and killed 13 people at their high school in Colorado. The pair subsequently committed suicide. This mass shooting led to increased security across schools in the United States. It also reignited calls for gun control. And, you know, that has just revolutionized how we live in America with like so much gun control and everything's great and fine. Just kidding. I really don't want to get into that conversation, but like, and I'm going to play for you guys one of my favorite clips ever. I used to love the Marilyn Manson clip of him talking about Columbine and Bowling for Columbine, but I have my own thoughts and feelings on Marilyn Manson, which you will all be privy to soon. And I have been working very hard on putting together cohesively for you. But for now, we're going to listen to Matt Stone from, you know, the creator of South Park, talk to Michael Moore about the shooting in Colorado, you know, the Columbine tragedy in Colorado, in the movie Bowling for Columbine, which came out in 2002.
Columbine is a normal high school and a normal suburb, you know, basically.
Painfully, painfully, painfully normal. Just absolutely painfully, horribly average. You know, Littleton in general is. I remember being in sixth grade and I had to take the math test to get into honors math in seventh grade. And they're like, don't screw this up, because if you screw this up, you won't get into honors math in seventh grade. And of course, if you don't get into honors math in seventh grade, you won't get into honors math in eighth grade. And then in not ninth grade, and then 10th grade, 11th grade, and then you'll just die poor and lonely. And that's it. You know what I mean? It's like, it, you, I, you know, you believe in high school and the, you know, and a lot of it's kids, but the teachers and counselors and principals don't help things. They scare you into doing, into conforming and doing good in school by saying, if you're a loser now, you're going to be a loser forever. So that with Eric and Dylan, right, people called them fag. They're like, you know what, if I'm a fag now, I'm a fag forever. And you wish someone just could have grabbed him and gone, dude, high school's not the end of a year and a half, or a year, was it? I don't know.
They were weeks away from graduation.
Yeah, you're done. You know, it's amazing how fast you lose touch with all those people. They just beat it in your head as early as sixth grade.
Right.
Don't fuck up, because if you do, you're going to die poor and lonely. You don't want to do that. You're like, well, fuck, you know, whatever I am now, I'm that forever. And of course, it's completely opposite. All the dorks in high school go on to do great things, and all the really cool guys are all, like, living back in Littleton as insurance agents. It's almost person to person. It's completely that way. And you just, if someone could have told them that, maybe they wouldn't have done it. But yeah.
That is such a powerful clip from that movie and so insightful. I mean, at the end of the day, it's true that it was a tragic and terrible event. And yes, you know, what perpetuates these monsters is still kind of a mystery to all of us, because acceleration seems to play a huge part in it. But you know, what does that even mean at the end of the day? These people are radicalized. They are not well. We have a severe mental health problem in our country and weapon problem in our country. But at the same time, no one wants to really dig down and talk about what really causes these teens to go and massacre their classmates or, you know, fellow citizens in general. And it's something that we've been struggling with long before 1999, but this was one, you know, notable moment from the era that I couldn't just not mention. So anyway, moving on to something happier, Mambo Number 5, Lou Bega's cover of Mambo Number 5 was released in April of 1999. It remained on top of the charts for over 10 weeks. It is a 1000% banger, and I feel like we kind of have to listen to it now just to get us in a good mood.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
I think we all remember that song. And if you're going to be a one-hit wonder, this is about as good as it gets. So, I mean, it's tons of fun, tons of energy. I love it. The Kosovo war bombing. In March of 1999, NATO began a bombing campaign in Yugoslavia after peace talks had failed. You know, we talked about a little bit about Santana, 1999 in music. Popular artists like Santana went on to win a Grammy for 1999's Record of the Year. Popular music artists in 1999 included Monica, Backstreet Boys, Cher, Whitney Houston, NSYNC, TLC, Suspense, None the Richer, oh, love them, Ricky Martin, Jennifer Lopez, Pearl Jam, Destiny's Child, Ja Rule, Jay-Z, Christina Aguilera, and Britney Spears. Now, as far as Suspense, None the Richer, they're going to get their own episode. I have so many memories and stories attached to that band that, like, honestly, mentioning them in a blurb would not do it justice. So some of the highest paid celebrities in 1999, according to Forbes, the highest paid celebrities in 1999 were Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jerry Seinfeld, Steven Spielberg, and now this one's going to make you guys LOL, the Spice Girls, Harrison Ford, Robin Williams, Celine Dion, and the Rolling Stones. So, you know, besides the Rolling Stones and then the ones who have passed away and the Spice Girls, some peace, Robin Williams and the Spice Girls, I think there's an argument for the fact that, like, these might still be some of the top paid celebrities in the entertainment industry even today. Now, I think you guys are going to really get a kick out of this. Guess who was the Time person of 1999? Jeff Bezos. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos was named as the Time person of the year. This was because of the rise in online shopping. So this was when Amazon was really starting to get a foothold into the American lexicon. Now, 1999 in movies, well, we saw Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. The Sixth Sense was released, Toy Story 2, Tarzan, The Matrix, which just blew every other movie out of the water that year, The Mummy, Notting Hill, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me, Office Space, Fight Club, The Blair Witch Project, The Green Mile, and American Pie. And I do have a theory about Office Space and Fight Club being John Malkovich and all of these, like, cubicle type movies that came out right around the same time. And I do want to do, like, a full episode on that. I think I have it mostly written, but I was trying to convince Max from Measuring Flicks to do it with me because it just seems like, I don't know, it just seemed like a good episode to have him on for. Then Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy star Sarah Michelle Gellar, was named as FHM's Sexiest Woman of the Year. And then, of course, the film American Beauty won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 1999. And I feel like a broken record, but, like, I cannot wait to cover the movie American Beauty. I'm hoping that Jeff from Notable Nostalgia is going to do it with me. And I think Allie had said that she wanted to come on and do it with me. So Allie, if you're listening to this, let's get it on the calendar. Now, the Y2K bug. And there's so much more, guys. Like, there really is. But the Y2K bug was kind of the biggest thing of the year 1999, right? Throughout much of 1999, the media focused on Y2K and the dawn of the new millennium. There was also a lot of concern about the millennium bug. Thankfully, nothing serious occurred, as many developers spent countless nights making sure that it would not be an issue, or, like, maybe it was never an issue at all. Who knows? It's a mystery. We'll never know. But this is from Freaked to Fine. Celebs react to Y2K, 1999 MTV News. And this is MTV interviewing the Backstreet Boys, asking them about Y2K.
Your U.S. tour dates take you almost up to New Year's Eve. What are your New Year's Eve plans?
I can answer that question for you. And what are we doing on New Year's Eve?
What are you doing on New Year's Eve?
We'll be hiding somewhere.
In a bomb shelter.
I'm going to dig a hole and jump in there. And put dirt over it.
I'm gonna go to the bank and ask for all the money and quarters and nickels.
Give me all my money.
Can I have that in nickels and quarters?
We haven't really decided yet, but
we'd like to be home.
We might be just resting because we've been working every year for the past 6 years. So we're probably just gonna chill with the family in case the world ends or something. You know,
but we're very optimistic. So.
In case everything just goes,
everything's cool.
Blows up, meteor. You know.
Okay, AJ.
Any big New Year's plans
you guys have? Nah, not me.
Really? The Y2K thing, have you a little...
You know what? I'll be with family. Yeah. I'll be with family. I wouldn't advise.
And this is Lauryn Hill, by the way, you guys, because I know you can't see who Kurt is interviewing. Dr. Dre.
No, I haven't got caught up in the hype about the millennium and all that. I'm just living day by day. I mean, I don't want to be in an airplane. When 12 o'clock comes, New Year's Eve, you know, who knows what's going to happen with these computers, man.
Christina Aguilera.
I was just talking to my mommy this morning on the phone, and she's telling me all this. She's like, don't get in an elevator. That's like her word. She's like, you're not allowed to get in an elevator. So I was like, okay, mommy, I'll stay away from that one. But, you know, planes, the whole bit, you know, money. She's like, I think she's like stocking food for the next 2 years.
The Offspring.
He wants to be on a commercial jet at midnight, flying like over the Dateline or something. I don't know. Yeah,
right. That's right.
I like that one.
Here's Jay-Z.
Do you have any concerns about like all these talks about Y2K and millennium bugs and?
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can we control it? Is it something we could stop? Just push a button. I can't worry about things that's out of my control. You know what I'm saying? Things that's in my control that I can alter, you know, I try to alter if it's potentially dangerous to me. Things that I have no control of, I can't do anything about. Whatever happens, man, we see.
God, I think that is such a good, like, insightful answer from Jay-Z, which I never thought is a sentence I would say. Next, we have TLC. And then after TLC, they talk to Marilyn Manson.
Whatever happens, man, we see.
This hand and this hand. Go like this, close your eyes, and pray to who?
The big GOD.
That's the only way everybody will be safe, period. Because, like, you know, it's cool to go ahead and pre-plan, you know, get all your bank statements together.
And
go
you
ahead.
Should. And
you know, have food, take money out. You should. You should be doing that anyway without Y2K, whatever. But if you don't pray, because everything's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen, you should find something positive to believe in. So for all you devil worshipers, God bless.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
I always felt like New Year's Eve was like an amateur night for partiers, you know, just people. And the millennium thing doesn't really thrill me because I think that's also amateur night for doomsayers and for people who are depressed about their lives because... You know, I think the end of the world's been happening since the day it began. So
it's not going to be one big bang.
No, it's not on January 1st. So.
Ugh, Marilyn Manson disgusts me on a level that I can never describe, but I'm going to try to. I mean, I literally have so many clips of him on Loveline being the most disgusting person on the planet. Speaking of disgusting, here's P. Diddy. At the time, he was going by Diddy. And so, yeah, I mean, hey, right at the turn of the century, 1999, right before Y2K, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs is going by Diddy.
Yo, how it goes down, you know, we're going to have to handle it. It's just going to be a different day, a different number. I'm quite sure everybody's going to wake up with the same hangover, whether it was 98 or 2000. Your head is going to still hurt the same way when you wake up in 2000.
Do you have serious, like, Y2K concerns?
Zero.
Really?
No, it's zero, and I really find it quite laughable that everybody thinks the hurricanes and everything is all doomsday. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know, it's just not my trip.
Oh my God, Jewel is a national treasure. She said, it's just not my trip. I love it. I just remember the 2000 New Year so well. I was never allowed out on New Year's when I was young because my mom said, just like Manson, actually, that New Year's is amateur night. And it's just not safe to be out with all the drunk drivers. So I definitely was not out. But I'm sure if I went and revisited the schedule for Disney Channel that night, I could relive the entire night. And maybe I'll have to have Allison from Past Foot Forward come on and do that with me. Honestly, guys, I had a lot more nostalgia stuff for 1999, but I don't know how long I've been recording or how long this episode is. I feel like we went over so much stuff already. But if you guys enjoyed this episode, let me know because I'm definitely open to doing more like it. I love to take a look at like a day in history, a month in history, an event in history. 1999 was great. 1994 was even better. So I do just want to say thank you to all of my patrons. You guys are awesome. I hope that everybody is having an amazing day. And in conclusion, I mean, 1999 was the best last year of a decade. It was the best last year of the decade, the century, and the millennium. Everything was on point at that time of year. I'd do almost anything to go to the year 1999. And it might actually be fun to look at the New Year's Eve countdown concerts that happened later, because I know that Christina Aguilera actually played at one. Anyways, guys, I'm going to go before I talk about 1999 for another 30 minutes. Like I said, I hope that everybody is having a great day, and I will talk to you again soon. Later.